Today on Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely.
Unless you're born of the water, unless you're born of the Spirit, then you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on later to say, unless you're born of water and of the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, so because that which is a flesh is a flesh, associating that with water, and that which is spirit, associating that with the Spirit, things of the Spirit. They're saying, unless you have that new nature, you can't figure this stuff out. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven. You must have the new nature. You must be born again.
Deeper and deeper,
deeper and deeper,
deeper and deeper,
I want to know you more.
In this text today, Pastor Troy will be expounding on Jesus' teaching on faith. The only way you can really understand the teachings of Jesus is if you've been born again. It's only by the Holy Spirit that you can have understanding of biblical principles and to implement them into your life by faith. If you struggle with any principles in the Bible, ask the Holy Spirit to increase your faith and to strengthen you. Now, make sure and stay with us after Pastor Troy's message. I want to share our contact information with you, as well as how you can receive a free copy of this broadcast. Now, here's Pastor Troy in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 8, with our continuing study entitled, Beware of Bad Doctrine.
Sometimes we don't always know how God is going to provide. But we do know by His track record that He will. And it just might be that you're experiencing some uncomfortable, awkward times now, but there are times where you need to experience that. Because God is helping you to see that your faith is genuine, real. The trials often serve that purpose. And He's building your faith. If everything was handed to us on a silver platter, well, who would need faith? But He's building our faith, transforming us, bringing us from glory to glory. Upward call in Christ Jesus. So, don't forget what God has done. Don't forget what He's able to do, or we will fall into some bad doctrine. And then failing to exercise faith, that can cause you to kind of reason wrong. God wouldn't do that. It doesn't make sense to me. He says to them, oh, you of little faith. Why? Well, because they were thinking on a physical level. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Do they make bread? I don't know. I think it's because we forgot bread. And they're reasoning within themselves. And they're thinking in earthly terms. But Jesus is talking about spiritual things. God's people, or those who are seeking the Lord, have a hard time with that transition. In fact, it's part of our growing process. Stop thinking about the things of the world and start thinking about the things of heaven. Nicodemus was a man who showed up, talked to Jesus, how do I follow you? And Jesus said, well, you got to be born again. And Nicodemus was, well, how in the world do I do that? I can't be born again. And then conversation goes on later on. Jesus is talking about, unless you're born of the water, unless you're born of the Spirit, then you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He goes on later to say, unless you're born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. He says, so because that which is a flesh is a flesh, associating that with water. And that which is spirit, associating that with the Spirit, things of the Spirit. He's saying, unless you have that new nature, you can't figure this stuff out. You can't get to the kingdom of heaven. You must have the new nature. You must be born again. See, we're born in this natural world. And so again, we just see things naturally. And it's not until someone is born again, filled with the Spirit of God, alive to Christ, that they can begin to see things different. So that we can live for eternity rather than just to defend and get everything I can and protect myself right here and right now. We need to learn to walk by faith and to think about spiritual things. Think about eternity. A sign of faith and maturity is that you will begin to think eternally. more than just physically and here and now. Jesus said, set your mind on things above. He said, store your treasures in heaven. And he said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This is where your mind is to be. This is what you're to be thinking about. You won't get your reward. Yeah, you won't get all that you've desired. But your eternal reward, that's where you're supposed to set yourself and put your mind there. So they're not able to get all this because of their faulty reasoning. And finally, they're given some light. The light bulb goes on. Verse 12. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. So he's just saying, hey, watch out for their false teaching. Doctrine is simply teaching. The doctrine, I'm going to teach you the doctrine, what we believe. So he's saying, don't listen to their teaching. I'm not impressed with it. It's false. It's wrong. God does not like to be misrepresented. In fact, he said, let not many of you presume to be teachers because you're going to receive the stricter judgment. You better listen and get on your knees and respect the place. Don't come up here and just be a nut, which is why I subdue myself, because this is holy ground. Preaching with personality, yes, but to come up here and do a stand-up routine so that you like me, I think that's blasphemous, because this is holy ground. God doesn't like to be misrepresented. And every time Jesus had the opportunity to warn about false groups or false teaching, he did it. He wasn't afraid. He said, that teaching, that's wrong. Don't listen to that group. And he would call it out. Now, this isn't like Baptists wear ties. And I don't know, that's not in the Bible. You shouldn't go to a church that wears ties. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about false doctrine where Jesus is no longer the Jesus of the Bible. And the doctrine that we're going to speak about concerning the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Why does Jesus call out these false groups and these false teachings? Well, because he relates it to leaven, which spreads. He basically says, I'm going to call it out because I don't want it to spread. I want it to stop. It's false. And if I just, whatever, then more people are going to get caught up in that and be led astray. But Jesus is talking about the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the liberals of their day. Very liberal. They embraced the culture like it was nobody's business because, one, it benefited them. They wanted Rome to accept them. They wanted the favor of Rome. They didn't want to stand out. They didn't want to oppose Rome. So they were liberal, embraced the culture. You know, Rome does this, we like it. When in Rome, do as the Romans do. That would be their mantra. They were the liberals of the day because it befitted them. And because they liked some of it. We like some of the culture too. So that was their position. They didn't believe in anything supernatural. It was all natural to them. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe anything they couldn't do themselves. And a way to remember that it was the Sadducees who did not, of the two groups, who did not believe in the resurrection is just a little fun phrase. It's, the Sadducees did not believe in the resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. So now you know how to remember that it was the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. I don't think that's why they got their name Sadducee, but it works well for us. So they were the rationalists of the day. Makes sense. Makes sense to me. Yeah. Gets us favor with Rome. Hey, who cares? Then there were the Pharisees. They were the legalists of their day. Oh, they were the opposites. Like the Sadducees, the Pharisees would downplay or even overlook anything in the Scriptures that didn't fit their theology. Now you think, oh, they were the Pharisees. They didn't overlook anything. Yes, they did. They overlooked a lot of things in the Scriptures. They talked about God's kindness and His mercy, that the fact that Abraham was a Gentile, you know, when he was circumcised, he wasn't a Jew. So they overlooked all of those things. But when it came to laws and rules, they didn't overlook any of them. We need them. We like them. In fact, there's not enough of them. They would add more. They would add more. They had no problem adding the Word of God. There were the oral laws. The oral laws were basically, oh, let's reason through this. And I think he means this. And I think he means that. I think he means this. You think he means that. Let's add five more things. So it's all included. And they just kept adding stuff to the law. The traditions, what worked for grandpa, he did it. Hey, let's keep passing that on. And then placing burdens on the people in order to appear righteous. Those were the Pharisees. So Jesus warns the disciples, beware of their teaching, the liberalism, the legalism of these two groups, because it is not good. It's not balanced. It's extreme, and it's extremely wrong. I have known many Christians who gravitate to one of the two camps. In fact, it seems our nature. It seems our nature to gravitate toward one, and then maybe you may be one of those pendulum swingers. Okay, I'm over here for a time. Whoop, 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 whoop. And then you're in the legalistic church for a time because it's good, it's right, it's up, oh man. And then the rules help me. And then, oh man, that's too much. And then you're over here. There's those. But then there are others who are just all tolerance and don't correct anybody, don't say anything, don't judge. And then there's the other side. It's all law. Some focus on God's love, and He is love. They confuse God's love for tolerance, though, thinking God accepts and tolerates everything. You know, it's a holy God that we serve. Holy. That's beyond our comprehension, but holy, pretty holy. And they'll say things like, you know, just let it go. Just let it go. Oh, don't say anything. As long as God loves them, as long as they love God, don't worry about it. I thought, you know, that's not always going to work, because if somebody comes in here and, you know, he's coming out of the gang lifestyle or whatever, and I've heard that, you know, the little teardrops, little teardrop tattoos that represents, you know, killing somebody or driving by. I'm not sure exactly what it means, but it's not good. And so if after a few weeks this guy is coming to our church and I notice more teardrops each week, I'm going to say, hey, what are those teardrops? I'm going to ask you about this. It doesn't look good. I'm scared. Who are you killing out there? You know, what's going on? Now, I may be wrong. Maybe you just like teardrops, but I would like to clarify this. So, you know, you got to say something, you know, so that you're not confused. But some will say, don't say anything. Then there's Joel Osteen. You want to talk about just let it be. He was asked about, it's beware of false doctrine today. We don't call them out all the time, but today's the day. So, this was a bad teaching. He was asked point blank, are Mormons saved? Are they going to heaven? Now, we just talked to some this past Wednesday who would themselves say, no, absolutely not. We don't believe in the same Jesus. We don't have grace. We're not saved. We were not saved. And Joel Osteen's answer was, well, loving. You know, I can't judge people, and they believe in Jesus. They say they believe in Jesus, and you know, that's good enough for me. Well, it's not good enough for Jesus. Not the Jesus of the Bible. Because he says they're not believing in the right Jesus, and they're not saved. They believed a false gospel. So we can't lean so far to that liberal side that nobody is ever confronted with anything. Some need more love, for sure, to be more loving. But don't confuse that with tolerance and acceptance of everything going on. Now, others focus on legalism. This is a group that likes to create a set of standards for every little thing if it's going to be done the right way. You can't do anything without a set of standards and rules and guidelines. And guess what? What's righteous and right is their way. They're never outside of their own set of standards. Now, before we go on with those guys, I do want to say that we do need standards. Standards are helpful for the sake of safety. Can you imagine removing all stoplights? That wouldn't be good, because we're not considerate of each other. We would have so many accidents. And so we need the standard that red means red, green, you know, yellow does not mean speed up and continue. We need standards. I remember, for the sake of consistency, we need consistency in life too. Standards are good for that. In fact, one thing I like about consistency is you get to see where things are failing. Science depends upon consistency, right? In fact, God created a world that runs on consistency. We would call something that goes outside of that consistent nature established by God, that law, as a miracle. You know? And so God is consistent. When he speaks, it's true. It always is true. So we need consistency. Our children need consistency in training. So we want to have consistency in our lives. And those are standards that we operate by. And as a larger group, you need consistency. Can you imagine sports teams out there where the coach just says, hey, wear whatever you want to. We're playing the 49ers today, so you know, wear something white. And then everybody coming in, whatever, you would, who's my teammate? So we do need order and consistency. Consideration for others. We need standards, guidelines, regulations. We need some things like that so that we actually consider others. You know, I'm learning and that I can't just go changing things anymore because we're growing and other people depend on stuff. So I changed our modem and thought that was a good thing because it'll be faster, we can do more. And then, you know, those who were connected to it in-house who depend on it for sound and other things, what happened to the modem? What's going on? We're not getting connection. Like, I stepped on some toes. But you know what? I didn't consider them. I didn't consider the results. I just kind of did what I thought would be good. And so that's why we have certain standards of, you know, Adam is the media guy. And so it gives us one point of contact. And I'll say, you know, in the future, Adam, there you go. Those standards come not because I can't do it. I've done stuff. I'm giving stuff up. But the standards come, the processes or procedures come because we can consider others. And it's very helpful. And then also to keep in accordance with the law. There are some laws that just people aren't aware of. I can tell when I go out and drive. But some people just aren't aware of certain laws that we have to abide by. Why would the church do this? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? A lot of it has to do with children's ministry stuff that we're required to do. That we need to do it. And that's why. We're not scared of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to not depend on Him. But we also don't want to get shut down because it's a dumb thing that we're not doing because we think it'd be sacrilegious or something. So they're required. I remember getting my house, and they most light switches, when you open the bathroom door, are right there on the wall. That's the right place. But ours is on when you open the wall and you go right to the sink, right next to the sink is a light switch. Now, their explanation was, well, we can't have the light switch here because the shower is here, and if you reach out, I guess for your towel, I don't know, you gotta have a long arm to get past your towel and get the light switch, but if you reach out, you could, you know, hurt yourself. I said, so you put it right next to the sink? I said, I'm more likely to turn the light switch on and off next to the sink than I am in the shower. But that was the law. It didn't make sense to me. I had to take it or leave it. I even threatened and said, I'm not going to, we're going to back out of the house. We're going to back out of the whole deal because I'm not going to submit to that law. I think it should be done my way. Well, I got the house. But what I did buy is there are light switches that have a light, you know, it's a light. And so now I can find my light switch. So we do need those. But listen, we need those kind of standards in the world. We just do. But to set up standards so that we think we make clear judgments on what is righteous or not, that's different. We cannot set up standards to say what's righteous or not. Because we don't know where someone's coming from at any given time. I mean, they come from different backgrounds. The guy that looks nice and clean cut and just like, man, he's probably got it in order. Family looks okay. You don't realize that he's lost his first love. Yeah, he was a thriving Christian, but he's on a way backwards. He's gotten back into gambling, and he's been very hard, and he's on a course of abusiveness with his wife. You don't know that, but he looks good. And you don't know if these others who maybe come from a different, maybe that gang member I told you about, he doesn't know. He doesn't know that tears, extra tears, scare people. You know, so He's just, I love the Lord. I used to get them because I killed someone. Well, no, I didn't kill someone. Actually, I'd be in prison right now, right? That'd be confession. So I just wanted to kill someone. And so I got the tears. But now, my next one was because I shed a tear for Jesus. Could you not get any more? Because they scare me. No, I'm just kidding. No more tears anyway. But we don't know where someone's coming from is what I'm saying. So we can't look and set up, this is righteous, this is not righteous, because we don't know the heart. But we can look at the direction. I would much rather have someone who is going the right direction, no matter how immature they may be at the time, but they're going the right. Man, they're moldable. They want to follow the Lord. I'd rather put some stuff in their lap and say, man, let's go for it, than to someone who's been walking with the Lord for a long time. They're very complacent, and it'd be more of a hazard than good, than helpful. Because it just seems better, and you get someone who's on fire. It doesn't matter where they're at. I'm finding that the standards, though, any standards, whether they're government law or even in your own workplace, you've got standards there. Being on time is one of them, right? They have a way of testing the heart. Any standard set up will test the heart. If I were to say, our ushers need to wear ties, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's not even legalism. It's legalism if I say, if you won't wear a tie, you're not growing in the Lord. The ones who are in ties are more mature than the ones who are not. Now that's legalism. That's a standard of righteousness. But if I say, hey, look, we want our, that's our first face. That's just what we want to do. You can say, okay, I'm not going to be an usher. Okay, that's fine. But to put standards of what is righteous and not, we cannot do that. That is legalism. And that's what the Pharisees' doctrine was all about. They weren't in it for living a better life. They said, this is what makes you righteous. This is righteousness. And they felt so good about themselves while they were missing their Savior. Probably didn't even feel like they needed a Savior. Isn't that what the law did? Didn't the law make us swear? It challenged, huh? That's what he said. The law didn't make you right. It made you aware of sin, made you aware that you are a rebel. Here's the law. I don't want to do that. Well, see? I'm not saying you're righteous, because he said the law doesn't make anyone righteous. He said, but it made you aware you're a little rebellious sinner, and it's going to prepare you for a Savior who's going to come. According to Jesus, doctrine is important. And to requote A.W. Tozer, he said, to believe on Christ savingly means to believe the right things about Christ. There is no escaping this. And the warning today is beware of bad doctrine. Stay balanced. Don't start getting to where rules make everyone more or less righteous. You don't know where they're coming from. I mean, obviously, you can see some who were getting everything in order and God was doing a great work, and then you see this. You can see certain things in people's lives, downward trends, but be careful of setting up standards that declare righteous and unrighteous. And also, stay away from that doctrine that says, just love, don't say anything to anyone. You're going to end up sending people straight to hell. If you don't let people know, look, I don't see transformation in your life at all. I haven't seen anything of Christ in your life. There's no transformation. I saw these guys, Adams Road, these Mormon guys. It was inspiring. God was alive. They didn't have to do anything but stand there and cry and weep and say, God is good. Like, I want to follow them. I want to follow them as they follow Christ. But for some, it's like, you've been following the Lord how long? And did you meet the real Jesus? Is he in there? Do you have a new nature? You wonder. Do you know the Jesus of the Bible? Because it is an upward call, right? In Christ.
Deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, deeper and deeper, I want to know you more.
In this day and age in which we live, it's easy to get distracted by everything that's going on around us. The hustle and bustle of life tends to keep us from the things that are truly important as followers of Christ. While there's simply no substitute for the personal reading of God's Word, programs like Building on the Solid Rock are a huge blessing that God uses in the discipleship of countless people. Building on the Solid Rock is the radio ministry of Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel Solid Rock in San Antonio, Texas. For more information about our ministry or to access the archive of messages, log on to our website at www.buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can subscribe to our podcast while you're there or search for us in the iTunes store. Use Calvary Chapel Solid Rock as you search. It's absolutely free. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us. We invite you to join us again next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Matthew. That's next time on Building on the Solid Rock.
And I look up and see the hand that I turned from when the storm began, and it covers me.